They called him reckless, said Tesla would implode and that SpaceX was just a billionaire's expensive hobby. Yet Elon Musk is now amongst the world's richest people. His electric vehicles have redefined an industry and his rockets, they are ferrying astronauts into orbit. Love him or loathe him, the sheer scale of his disruption is undeniable. Hello and welcome back to my podcast, Beginner's Mind. I'm Christian Soschner. Today, we are exploring the whirlwind of brilliance and controversy that is Elon Musk. We will be diving into Walter Isaacson's biography, Elon Musk, to uncover the mind behind the man.
Look, I know I sometimes say or post strange things, but that's just how my brain works. To anyone I've offended, I just want to say I reinvented electric cars and I'm sending people to Mars in a rocket ship. Did you think I was also going to be a chill, normal dude?
That was Elon Musk himself speaking on Saturday Night Live, capturing the essence of the duality we will unpack today. But first, why this book? Elon Musk is a name that evokes strong reactions from admiration, criticism, and everything in between. His ventures into electric cars, space, and even social media platforms have made headlines, not just for the technological innovations, but for the drama that seems to follow Musk wherever he goes. Within the story of a bullied child turned tech titan, there are lessons for everybody. It's a tale of relentless ambition, unwavering vision, and the staggering price some pay for world-changing success. So buckle up, because this will not be a comfortable ride, but definitely a fascinating one. The roller coaster ride of his public endeavors, from groundbreaking launches to Twitter controversies, makes his story a compelling study of what it takes to innovate in today's world.
And that those people that are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones that actually do.
And it's not just Musk's innovations, but his personality that shapes our future. Isaacson, who has penned the lives of other monumental figures like Steve Jobs and Leonardo da Vinci, brings the reader into the world of Musk with unprecedented access. Over 2 years of shadowing him, attending his meetings, and interviewing those closest to him, Isaacson crafts a narrative that is as informative as fascinating. Over the next 2 hours, I will unpack Isaacson's insights, dissect Musk's triumphs and stumbles, unpack leadership lessons, and try to answer that burning question. Does a visionary have to be this polarizing to achieve the impossible? Our guide into the world of Elon Musk is none other than Walter Isaacson, a Pulitzer Prize-winning biographer with a knack for chronicling the lives of history's most innovative minds. Isaacson isn't just a gifted storyteller, he's also a respected journalist who has served as the CEO of CNN and the Aspen Institute. This depth of experience, coupled with his academic background as a professor at Tulane University, positions him perfectly to understand and analyze the complexities of Musk's life and work. Born in 1952 in New Orleans, Isaacson's journey into the realms of writing and academia was marked by an early flair for understanding complex characters. A graduate of Harvard University and the Rhodes Scholar at the University of Oxford, Isaacson's career is as illustrious as the subjects he writes about. He has served as the chairman and CEO of CNN and the managing editor of Time magazine, where he honed his skills in storytelling and journalism. But what truly sets Isaacson apart for this biography is his meticulous research approach. For over 2 years, he shadowed Elon Musk, gaining unprecedented access. Imagine attending his meetings, witnessing his thought process firsthand, and interviewing those closest to him. This level of immersion is what allows Isaacson to craft a nuanced and insightful portrayal of the man behind the headlines. By choosing Walter Isaacson, the reader can be assured a biography that goes beyond simply recounting achievements. We can expect a deep exploration of Musk's motivations, the forces that shaped him, and the impact of his vision on the world around us. So let's dive into the overview of Isaacson's Elon Musk. But remember, really remember, Isaacson isn't just another writer. He's the guy who cracked the codes of monumental figures like Jobs and Einstein and Jennifer Doudna. His approach is not just about accomplishments. It's a psychological deep dive. And with Musk, there is plenty of ground to cover. The key themes and takeaways in these books are, for me, that Isaacson paints a picture of a man fueled by a relentless pursuit of a multiplanetary future of colonizing space. This singular focus drives every decision, pushing employees to meet insane deadlines, slashing costs, all because Musk sees this as humanity's only escape route from disaster. But here's the twist. This visionary obsessed with the future of humanity reportedly struggles with empathy. Those closest to him describe a lack of social cues and almost robotic focus. It's a fascinating contradiction. Can someone who envisions saving civilizations struggle to relate to the people around him? Now, the New York Times raised an important point. Does Isaacson fall into the trap of excusing Musk's questionable behavior because of his ambition? Crazy enough to change the world, Isaacson writes, but is crazy or even toxic an inevitable price for progress? That's a debate we will definitely unpack in this episode. But get ready for another bombshell. Isaacson alleges Musk secretly blocked Starlink satellite coverage to Ukraine to prevent them from launching a drone strike on Russia. This casts a whole different light on Musk as the tech hero many view him as. We will examine the evidence, unpack the potential consequences, and try to understand why Musk might make such a controversial decision. Are you ready to dive deep? So those are just some of the threads we will be pulling on throughout this episode. Whether you admire Musk or loathe him, his story raises questions relevant to every CEO and investor in the tech space about leadership, risk tolerance, and the price paid for shaping the future. So the first problem I had to solve is, how will I tackle the script for this podcast episode? The biography, as you see, is a beast. 95 chapters, 600 plus pages. It's really an incredible deep dive, but for this podcast, where I focus on entrepreneurship and investing, I need to distill it down. Can I cover it all? Honestly, no, but that's okay. So what's my approach? I will be sharing the highlights that help the listeners understand what makes Musk and his ventures tick. I'm looking for those moments in his life that shaped the mindset behind the headlines. Think of this as a founder's X-ray, not just a retelling of his hits and misses. The big question investors face is this: how can we find the next Elon Musk? The disruptors who will build the future, not just chase profits. This book review digs into the making of that rare breed of founder. My lens, I'm not just a host. I bring 35 plus years of building companies, my own experience in merger and acquisition, and deep tech development. This isn't hero worship, it's analysis. So let's start with a common misconception that today's success stories all start with privilege. Musk's early years challenged that notion. His childhood was marked by instability and the lack of traditional support. Think of this section as asking, can hardship fuel a different kind of entrepreneurial drive? Ready to dive in? Up next, we will tackle Musk's childhood, researching for those early experiences that shaped his relentless ambition, risk tolerance, and focus on tangible results, even if it comes at a personal cost. Part one covers the chapters 1 to 5 in the book, Childhood in South Africa, and the stage is set for disruption. Elon Musk's tumultuous upbringing set the stage for a life in perpetual disruption mode. His family dynamic lacked stability, with the motto, live dangerously, carefully. As Isaacson writes, this instilled an early tolerance for risk that most entrepreneurs never experience firsthand at such a young age. It's in chapter one on page 11. The takeaway here is for me that risk isn't a skill, it's exposure. Founders who have weathered hardship often in life have a different risk-reward calculus. This can translate into bold decisions, but also blind spots. For investors, it means they should really dive into the childhood of their entrepreneurs and assess how the founder's past influences their risk strategy. Facing an existential crisis, Musk's turn to philosophy and science fiction shows a relentless seeker of solutions, comfortable with unconventional ideas. Here, a crucial line reveals his hunger for answers. Both the religious and the scientific explanations of existence did not address the really big questions, such as where did the universe come from and why does it exist? This becomes a driving force throughout Elon Musk's ventures. The takeaway here is that the big why thinking drives disruption. Most founders focus on market gaps. True disruptors get obsessed with the root problem. Is their disruption merely incremental or does it hint at a worldview shift? This is a question that I think everyone who's investing in disruptive tech should ask themselves. Musk struggles with social cues, propels him towards the precision of science, engineering, and coding. Here, his focus on quantifiable goals become his competitive edge. On page 19, Walter Isaacson describes, as a result, he was bad at picking up social cues. It was only by reading books that he began to learn that people did not always say what they really meant. Social skills seems to be for success in business aren't everything. Founders with a laser focus on data and results can be disruptive forces, but may need a strong team around them. And the big question when investing in disruptors is this a solo operator or a potential team builder? The key takeaways for me in the first five chapters are that risk is a baseline. Musk's childhood wasn't just difficult, it normalized risk. This early exposure desensitizes him to the fear that paralyzes most founders, allowing for bolder decisions. A founder's past reveals very often their baseline risk level. Does this align with your own portfolio strategy in your fund? Unconventional solutions, my second takeaway. Seeking answers in unlikely spaces. Science fiction novels, video games shows a disregard for established solutions. True disruptors look beyond the expected even in early life. Question conventional paths to success. Founders driven by unique experience may see possibilities others miss. Precision is a superpower as the third takeaway. Many CEOs are people. Musk's focus on data-driven execution highlights a different but equally important skill set. This focus on tangible results is key to delivering on ambitious visions. Charisma sells, but data delivers. So it's really in a team looking for the balance between vision and execution skills is what makes a huge difference. And the next takeaway is results as validation. Social awkwardness pushed Musk towards the quantifiable world of science and engineering. This focus on data-driven results becomes his validation. For investors, this means less reliance on charisma, more on concrete metrics. Disruptors often disrupt success metrics themselves. Be sure you understand how they define what winning is in their life. Remember, investors in the startup world don't just back companies, they back founders. Musk's childhood offers insight into a mindset relentlessly focused on the possible, regardless of social costs. This drive, born from personal challenges, holds clues to both his success and his most contagious decisions. The questions after reading these five chapters for reflection for me are, how does your own risk tolerance compared to Musk's? Do you seek disruptive solutions or are you more comfortable with established practices? Is technical precision and results-driven leadership a strength of yours? When evaluating founders, look beyond their pitch. What hardships have they endured? How did it drive them towards a specific kind of solution? This reveals a motivation deeper than just profit. Up to the next chapter, transitioning into education. A burning question for many. Does Musk's education prove you need an Ivy League degree for game-changing success? We will examine his educational path and what lessons it might hold for aspiring founders. Here is part two, starting with nothing, building an empire, challenging the privilege myth. Contrary to popular belief, Elon Musk did not arrive in Canada with wealth. He and his family shared a cramped apartment, relying on his mother's modest savings from a beauty contest prize. This reminds the reader that disruptive ideas, not inherited funds, fuel true innovation. My key takeaways from this early start is that resourcefulness breeds resilience. Founders who have overcome scarcity develop a different relationship to resources. When looking at founders, assess how they have overcome limitations, not just the size of their initial investment. Second takeaway, evaluate resilience. Those who thrive in adversity often possess the unique determination needed for ambitious ventures. One big question is, as Stanford is everywhere, education versus drive. Is Stanford the only way to become a successful founder? Musk's journey at Queen's and later Penn reveals that while elite institutions offer valuable networks, they are not the sole source of innovation. He focused less on the degree and more on the skills needed to execute his visions, as his joint majors in physics and business demonstrate. In chapter 7, page 50, Walter Isaacson describes, "My goal was to engineer products and never have to work for a boss with a business degree." So what are the takeaways?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step-by-step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
Self-directed learning is key to success. True disruptors don't wait for formal degrees. They are driven to learn what they need when they need it. Value hands-on expertise. Second insight. Look for founders with practical knowledge and a problem-solving mindset, even without a traditional academic pedigree. While education is valuable, so is the ability to seize the moment. Musk was urged to take advantage of the dot-com boom. Advice that echoed that given to Jeff Bezos, even at the cost of delaying further studies. Walter Isaacson describes this very clearly on page 59 in the book, that both stories highlight the importance of seizing opportunities, even against conventional wisdoms. The key takeaway, timing plus action equals disruption. Hesitation is the enemy of innovation. Assess a founder's willingness to act decisively, not just their ability to plan strategically. And the second one is embrace calculated risk. The most transformative successes often come from unconventional choices. Consider the potential for extraordinary outcomes when founders embrace strategic risk-taking. Musk's story challenges conventional success narratives. Overcoming scarcity, prioritizing practical skill building, and seizing timely opportunities with calculated risk, these are the hallmarks of his entrepreneurial journey. My reflection questions are, after reading these chapters, do you really assess potential based on resources or resilience? When evaluating founders, how do you balance practical experience versus formal education? what unconventional backgrounds might hold hidden potential for disruptive innovation. Now, let's look deeper into the first entrepreneurial ventures of Elon Musk. We will explore how these foundational experiences shaped Musk's approach to launching businesses that would change and redefine entire industries. The third part covers Elon Musk's early ventures and the hard lessons he learned with them. And it's approximately to page 82, chapter 13 in the book. Patent power. Disruption starts with production. Musk's early experience with SIP2 demonstrated that even bold ideas deserve patent protection. This strategic decision not only underscores his innovation, but also laid the groundwork for future licensing deals, a crucial revenue stream for early stage founders, as described in Walter Isaacson's book on page 62, that securing a patent for an interactive network directory service bolsters the company's credibility and value, highlighting the importance of intellectual property in tech entrepreneurship. Thus, the key takeaways for me from this part are that intellectual property is essential. Treat IP rights as a core asset from day one of your venture. From the investor's point of view, a founder's patent strategy reveals their long-term vision and also value they can generate. And from the entrepreneurial insights point of view, early patenting safeguards innovations and opens avenues for future revenue through licensing. Question is always, should founders stay on the CEO seat, or do they need adult supervision, especially when they are in their 20s? When founders get sidelined, Elon's demotion at SIP2 to focus on tech is a familiar tale of VCs bringing in experienced leadership. As outlined in the book at page 63, this happened to Musk. And while this guidance can help early stage companies, this move taught Musk one crucial lesson that also shines throughout his career. I learned that you could not truly be the chief technology or product officer unless you were the CEO. Look in the book at page 63. It's beautifully described. My key takeaway is the founder's vision needs the top spot. True disruptors often struggle to relinquish ultimate control. Founders ousted early on may possess the single-minded focus needed for later success. Look at Steve Jobs and Apple. When he was not at Apple, he founded Pixar, made it a success story, came back to Apple, made the next success story. Business savvy matters in every startup. Sorkin's pivot of SIP2's business model reveals that technical brilliance isn't enough. Investors should therefore assess a founder's willingness to learn business fundamentals and embrace mentorship. And honestly speaking, I believe that in every startup, there should be a technical and a business founder. After SIP2, Musk moved forward, and it's the time of X.com, PayPal, and the power of personality clash of titans in the second half of the 90s. Musk's tenure at PayPal and interactions with co-founders Peter Thiel and Max Levchin epitomized the complexities of founders' dynamics. Musk's approach, often abrasive yet brilliantly ambitious, teaches valuable lessons about the balance between innovation and interpersonal skills. The takeaway is that disruptors aren't always charming, likable people. Musk's, for example, indifference to Levchin's genius capture technology and his strategic exaggerations during negotiations reveal a personality that prioritizes vision over congeniality. And again, disruptors have a reality distortion field. Steve Jobs, Elon Musk are the same in that respect. Reid Hoffman's observation of Musk's vision overriding interpersonal awkwardness offers insights into leadership that can drive a company forward despite flaws. And ouster doesn't mean failure. In the book, Walter Isaacson describes Musk's composed response to being removed as a CEO, and it illustrates the importance of staying strategically calm and put the corporate vision over personal ego and don't start the flamethrowers on Twitter. But the book moves forward, risk as a strategy, not a temperament. Roelof Potter's remark that entrepreneurs are typically risk mitigators contrasts sharply with Musk, who amplifies risk to achieve monumental goals. This approach has enabled the success of his ambitious ventures and serves as a model for assessing risk tolerance and strategic bravery. For entrepreneurs, Musk's career illustrates that extraordinary achievement sometimes requires pushing beyond comfort zones. Consider if a more aggressive risk strategy could propel your venture forward further. Musk's journey from Zip2 to PayPal is a masterclass in the interplay of invention, strategic leadership, and resilience, providing critical insights for thriving in the tech industry. The questions I would ask as an entrepreneur or an investor: do you view a founder's past conflicts as a liability or a badge of honor? How much weight do you place on technical brilliance versus business and social skills? Are you comfortable with a founder who may be difficult as long as the vision is compelling?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Coaching Conversation 2024. This podcast is 100% dedicated to leadership and leadership within the workplace coaching area. We work with companies throughout the world teaching leaders how to coach their employees. This podcast is dedicated to teaching specific strategies, frameworks, coaching models, and now artificial intelligence strategies to help leaders drive greater teamwork, collaboration, cooperation, greater attitudes, better motivation, coaching career development, just to name a few. I hope you'll check out our podcast.
In the next section, we will examine how those early lessons shaped Musk's next, even bolder entrepreneurial chapter, up into SpaceX, up to Mars. In the fourth part of this podcast episode, I have looked into chapters 14 to 19, and the overarching title of this chapters is Reaching for the Stars, Disrupting the Space Industry. And it's all about Musk's habit to lead with a big vision and look at the business possibilities later on. And this is how Elon Musk flips the traditional startup model on its head. Think about it. With PayPal, SpaceX, Tesla, he wasn't fixated on profits from day one. His driving force was revolutionizing payments, making humanity a space-faring civilization, electrifying transportation. Those were the missions he was after. And as one investor noted with Musk, Musk starts with a mission and later finds a way to backfill in order to make it work financially. It's on page 94 in the book, and this makes him revolutionary. He's relentless about solving world-changing problems. The key takeaway here is that the big disruptors always start with a big why. A compelling mission is what fuels them. The business plan can be figured out later. Investors who are looking for disruptive technology with the potential to become the next Tesla should look for founders who are truly passionate about the problem and not just chasing market trends. The second component besides the vision that Walter Isaacson describes in these chapters is risk, the fuel for bold missions. Musk has an extremely high tolerance for risk. He knows that many ventures may fail, but the successful ones, they can change everything. His move to California, it was pure strategy. Tapping into the aerospace talent pool was crucial to SpaceX success, and the best pool was in Los Angeles, and embodying the mindset that geographical and strategic positioning can significantly impact a startup's trajectory. And California, especially Silicon Valley and also Los Angeles, is, I think, momentarily the best place for deep tech entrepreneurs to look for investors and talent. The key takeaways in these chapters are: disruptive success demands a very high risk appetite. Think calculated risk, not recklessness. Founders who embrace failure as a learning tool rather than a setback will keep pushing boundaries. Investors should look beyond the pitch deck. They should assess how well founders understand managing operational risk while still taking bold swings. The third part that stands out in these chapters is a sense of destiny, and it's best demonstrated with Elon Musk's Mars obsession. SpaceX isn't just a company to Musk. It's about reigniting the American spirit of exploration and ensuring humanity's future beyond Earth. This purpose is what drives his relentless work ethic and his unwavering commitment to the mission, regardless of setbacks. The key takeaway: purpose breeds resilience. Companies with a larger goal beyond profit often have the staying power for long-term impact. Investors, founders with a deeply personal connection to the problem they are solving, may have the persistence for disruptive success. Bold goals, small steps, risk-taking, and rapid iteration. Musk's SpaceX team thrives because they share his appetite for risk and demand for innovation. Have you ever heard the term of moving fast and breaking things? That's the mantra, and it's been there since his early SIP 2 days, fostering a relentless drive for improvement, as described in the book on page 110. This rapid test and fix cycle doesn't just improve the rockets, it builds a team that thrives in a dynamic environment. But there is much more to it. Musk also leans heavily on first principles thinking, breaking problems down to their core to discover innovative solutions. Page 114 in the book. This relentless questioning of industry norms is a huge reason why SpaceX succeeded where giants struggled. Musk challenged the way things were always done and found new solutions that others deemed impossible. The key takeaways: true disruptors aren't afraid to push boundaries others won't. This is calculated risk, not recklessness. Don't accept the rules. Disruptors challenge what the industry takes for granted, not just the latest fad. And to the investors, founders with a strong technical bent and who aren't afraid to challenge the status quo may have the highest potential for breaking the mold. SpaceX under Musk is a masterclass in combining a shot for the moon vision with the meticulous execution it takes to get there. Each step, each risk, each improvement, they are not just moving forward, they are changing the entire industry. And from this part of the book, the questions for reflection that I noted down: vision or business plan? What matters most to you in a founder? Are you drawn to methodical founders or those driven by a powerful mission? How comfortable are you with founders who are willing to take substantial risks? Next, the chapters are all about Musk's management style, the highs, the lows, and how it shaped SpaceX early days. Part 5 is about the Tesla years: disruption meets drive. It's from chapters 20 to 27, and there is a lot of good stuff in it when it comes to investing and leadership and entrepreneurship. Mission over money: the power of a driving purpose. Unlike many founders who start with a market opportunity, Musk prioritizes a compelling mission. And here it is again emphasized with Tesla, as it was before with SpaceX. Think of this approach like Jeff Bezos with Amazon. Focus first on the big picture and not just the next quarter's profits or a quick exit 18 months down the road. Musk's obsession with electric cars was not just about taking the market. It was about the big vision of creating a sustainable future for humanity. Page 129 in the book, if you want to look it up. This mission first mindset inspires entire industries to change. And we see it today in the whole world. Everybody wants electric cars. The key takeaways for me are big missions attract top talent and investor attention. Investors should look for founders who are solving huge problems, not just chasing trends. And what's interesting with Tesla, Musk's luxury first model approach. Musk started with high profit, high-end cars, and then worked toward affordability. This is a classic disruptor tactic. Build desirability, refine the product, and then bring it to the masses. The second big revelation in these chapters were the power of network. Access to capital and mentorship matters. And Silicon Valley played a huge role in Tesla's early days. Musk's startup star status after SIP2 and PayPal let him tap into investors like Google Sprint and Page. Think of it as more than just funding. Being in an ecosystem like Silicon Valley adds legitimacy and strategic support to your startup. The key takeaways: location, 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 location matters. Disruptive innovation thrives in ecosystem where investors take risk, where you can find talent, and where you can find plenty of capital. Silicon Valley is unique these days. Build your reputation. Success builds credibility, attracting the resources needed for ambitious new ideas. The investors usually look beyond the pitch deck. The founder's network speaks volumes. So one thing you can do as a founder to demonstrate your network, do a podcast. What's also quite funny and interesting to read, Musk's unconventional public and investor relations approach. Instead of traditional media, he uses social media and self-promotion. Musk doesn't do public relations like the traditional Fortune 500 CEO way. There are definitely no polished messaging there. Instead, he is direct, sometimes controversial. He loves podcasts and Twitter, now X.com, described on page 139, to control the message and build a passionate following. It's risky, but it keeps people buzzing about his companies, which is basically free publicity. So the key takeaways for me from this part of the book: authenticity over polish. In the social media age, being genuine can be as compelling as a slick pitch deck. And investors should evaluate a founder's ability to connect directly with the public. It's an invaluable skill these days. Embrace the spotlight. Most CEOs might want to avoid controversy, especially the Fortune 500 and S&P 500 ones. But as a startup CEO, maybe considering doing it the Musk way is, like Elon Musk, leaning into it. Sure, it comes at the cost, but one thing is certain, it keeps his ventures in the headlines. And the next part, which was outstanding in this section of the book, people make all the difference. Building a team and managing talent. I have read this very often in several biographies, A players only. Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Steve Jobs, Reed Hastings from Netflix, they all emphasize hate mediocrity like Elon Musk and don't let people hate it. This might sound harsh, but it's a Jobs, Bezos, Gates, Hastings kind of thing. Walter Isaacson describes it in page 166. It sets a high bar and attracts the kind of people who thrive under pressure. It also means these kinds of companies can tackle huge challenges and innovate faster when the team is firing on all cylinders. The leadership is in the details. Remember that Gracia story on page 157? It shows the power of leaders connecting at the ground level. It's more than just walking around, it's showing humility and learning from those at the front lines. So the key takeaways from this section: disruptive companies demand quality from day one. Investors should look for founders who won't compromise on their team. Top talent is key. A rigorous hiring process ensures the team is full of innovative, driven individuals. And don't just manage the team, lead it with a vision. True disruptors learn from the trenches, not just from spreadsheets. Investors, a founder who's willing to roll up their sleeves and learn alongside their team inspires more than those who just dictate. My personal questions for reflection after this section: how much do you care about the founder's mission when making investment decisions? Does a founder's network and the larger ecosystem play a role in your interest? Do you prefer traditional founder communication styles, or are you drawn to those who push the boundaries also in IR and peer? How do you judge a founder's ability to build and manage a strong team? The next section, now things start getting tense. We will see how Elon Musk handles setbacks when Tesla and SpaceX were both on the brink of failure. It's a revealing look at his decision-making style under pressure. Part 6 covers the chapters up to chapter 36, and it's about on the brink. Resilience in the face of failure. The unforgiving arena of entrepreneurship. It's a good subtitle for the first chapters. Musk's story in this part isn't all smooth sailing. With Tesla and SpaceX both close to collapse at the same time, we see the brutal reality of entrepreneurship. Even visionaries like Elon Musk stumble. Can read it at page 176. Three failed rocket launches. Tesla burning through cash. This was the kind of pressure that could break, I believe, anyone. But Musk famously said, "I will never give up." And I mean never. That resilience in the face of overwhelming odds is what makes him extraordinary. The key takeaways for me are, for startup entrepreneurs, failure is inevitable. High-risk ventures come with the possibility of failure. Investors should be prepared to accept this reality. Persistence is paramount. It's not about avoiding failure. It's about bouncing back strong after each setback. That separates the entrepreneurs from the true disruptors. And expect the unexpected. Entrepreneurship is messy. Sometimes survival means doing things you never thought you'd do. And this brings us to the next part, as described on page 179. Where are the legal and ethical boundaries? Musk with Tesla walked a fine line to keep Tesla alive, sometimes crossing into legal gray zones, like using customer deposits for operational costs. This was a high-stakes gamble, one he felt he had to take, but it raises the tough questions. What compromises are acceptable for survival? And where does a founder cross a fine line into illegal territory?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you're an engineer or a scientist, you love Formula One, you love cycling, you love learning about how new technologies are changing the world around us, then I thought you may want to listen in to my new podcast, the Neil Ashton Podcast. We talk to leading engineers and scientists from around the world, hear about their life stories, hear about new technologies, and hopefully educate you and give you a better sense of how key things like machine learning, artificial intelligence, supercomputing are changing the world around us. If that sounds like it's something you might like, you should come and have a listen.
The key takeaways: navigating ethical gray areas, founders sometimes make morally ambiguous choices. What matters is if they learn from these experiences. Be transparent, keeping stakeholders informed about risks and the action the founder suggests mitigates potential backlash later. And for investors, I think it's wise to understand the founder's ethical compass to not being overly invested in stories like Theranos, FTX, or Wirecard. It reveals how they will act when the chips are down. Shifting perspective for solutions. True innovation often means breaking your own rules. Musk realized that Tesla wasn't just hardware, but, and this is an interesting point, he saw Tesla more as software on wheels, opening doors for constant improvement. This mindset shift turned the Tesla into a market leader. It's not just a car, it's a device, it's software, and also the videos recorded with each Tesla and stored in their cloud are, I think, an invaluable asset in the times of artificial intelligence. And this leads to the next key takeaways. Challenge your assumptions, shift your perception. Don't get trapped by your own past successes. Be willing to rethink everything. Tesla, a car, software, videos, artificial intelligence. Always focus on the user. Understanding the user experience can unlock unexpected ways to add value, enhancing your product's appeal. And the final part in this section is especially interesting for the Europeans, I think, the importance of government support. Obama's speech back in 2010 highlights a key difference between the United States and elsewhere on page 207. And let's just briefly look into it. Obama said, "Some have said it is unfeasible or unwise to work with the private sector in this way," he said in his speech. "I disagree. By buying the services of space transportation rather than the vehicles themselves, we can continue to ensure rigorous safety standards are met. But we will also accelerate the pace of innovations as companies, from young startups to established leaders, compete to design and build and launch new means of carrying people and materials out of our atmosphere." The first point that he says is governments in the United States support startups and let them compete amongst each other, which is the second, I think, important point. Don't lock in a solution early in the process. Let startups compete and let the market sort out which solution will be the strongest in 5 to 10 years. So in this chapter, US government support is clearly underlined, like NASA contracts. This can propel startups to success. Think of them as a high-profile early customer providing credibility alongside much-needed cash on the bank account. The key takeaways: government is an important catalyst. Policies and procurements can create the right environment for innovation. Investors factor in a startup's potential for government partnerships. It shows stability and opens up markets. Strategic partnerships: don't just chase funding. Look for partners that bring strategic benefits like regulatory support and easier market access. This chapter is a gut check. It shows Musk's resilience, his willingness to navigate gray areas in times when the companies need to switch into survival mode, and how he uses failure as fuel to drive his companies further towards the goalpost, his vision. And let's not forget the importance of strategic partnerships. Elon Musk teaches some tough but vital lessons about high-stakes innovations. My questions for reflections are: how does your risk tolerance square with this side of entrepreneurship, the gray areas and close to bankruptcy? Do you believe unwavering self-belief is essential for founders to battle through crisis? Do you prefer steadfast leaders or ones who show flexibility as circumstances change? Does potential for government support make a startup more appealing to you as an investor? In the next section, I will talk about Musk's management style under pressure. We will see his strengths, his weaknesses, and how it all shaped Tesla and SpaceX in those make or break years. Now to part 7, the Musk algorithm, disruptive leadership at breakneck speed. And this part takes us up to chapter 52. Big vision, bold execution. This shines through the entire book. And also here, Walter Isaacson compares Elon Musk's with Jeff Bezos, both visionary leaders. Both prioritize world-changing goals over quick profits. With Tesla and SpaceX, it wasn't just about cars or rockets. It was about ending fossil fuel dependence and making humanity a spacefaring species. This shoot for the moon mentality, paired with his focus on hard science, is what allows him to see things others can't. Page 226 in the book. The key takeaways from these chapters is bold founders win. Audacious problems attract talent and investors, but it's important that the whole ecosystem is focused on keeping people moving forward regardless of failure. As we remember from the previous chapter, failure is inevitable on an entrepreneurship's journey. Vision over marketing. Musk believes a great product sells itself, described on page 253, and that confidence is compelling. Investors should look for founders who clearly articulate how their startup solves a big problem or improves the future of humanity. That inspires loyalty and long-term commitment from the entire team. The Silicon Valley approach is move fast and break things, and I think Elon Musk is the best example for it. He embodies that Silicon Valley move fast and break things mentality with that maniacal sense of urgency. Page 288. This works because he always wants it simpler, better, more efficient. Build quickly, test, break it, learn, and do it better next time. This isn't about getting a perfect product to market the first time. It's about evolving through constant improvement. It was basically also the Kaizen approach in Japan. I think it was back in the 70s or 80s. Walter Isaacson talks about the Silicon Valley approach on page 253 in the book. My key takeaways, when teams are building a startup, speed matters. In disruptive industries, the first to dominate the market usually wins the entire market. Don't get bogged down in perfecting version 1.0. Move fast, iterate. It was also an approach I think Steve Jobs used with Apple. The iPhone is the best example. Apple came very late to the smartphone, to the mobile phone party in 2007, but kept iterating and improving continuously. And now I think they still take most of the profits in the smartphone markets. The second key takeaway, therefore, is iteration is innovation. Get a minimal viable product fast to the market and then use the feedback from the customers to constantly improve it. And the major part in these chapters is the Musk algorithm for optimization. This algorithm is Musk's mantra, his step-by-step approach to efficiency and innovation. It involves questioning every requirement, minimizing complexity, optimizing processes, accelerating cycle times, and automating last. Page 288. This framework guides every aspect of production and operations at Tesla and SpaceX, ensuring that both companies remain at the forefront of technological advancement. And in principle, it's a five-step algorithm, and it underscores Musk's philosophy for efficiency and innovation. Let's break it down. The first part is scrutinize every requirement, even your own. The second, delete parts and processes aggressively. The third, simplify and streamline what remains. The fourth, accelerate production cycles. And the fifth, then and only then, automate with care. Walter Isaacson also points in the book that very often there are a few more parts mentioned to the algorithm. For example, all technical managers must have hands-on experience. Camaraderie is dangerous. It's more about working together and pushing the team to improvement rather than being best friends. This one I think is important, and they also learned it at the army. Never ask your troops to do something you are not willing to do. Then again, when hiring, look for people with the right attitude, not only A, people in skills, but also in the attitude, which means in the Elon Musk world, hardworking people. Skills can be taught. Attitude changes require a brain transplant. So be clear about your values and find people with a matching attitude. A maniacal sense of urgency is our operating principle. Work hard, work fast. And finally, the only rules are the ones dictated by the laws of physics. Everything else is just a recommendation. And as we saw in the previous chapter, sometimes also legal boundaries can be seen by Elon Musk as a recommendation. Therefore, my key takeaways are, as a startup founder, entrepreneur, or player on a startup team, question everything. Never accept the status quo. Always challenge your own assumptions as fiercely as you challenge others. And for investors, this mindset ensures a startup won't get left behind. Lean is powerful. Eliminating waste is a competitive edge. Systematic innovation, a structured approach, keeps problem solving focused and efficient. But leadership the Musk way also comes with a price. Musk's visionary style has downsides. He has little tolerance for mediocrity, which can come across as harsh and unfriendly. Combine this attitude with a relentless work ethic, and it creates a tough environment for some. His decisive, at times unilateral leadership style speeds things up in a crisis, but it isn't driven by consensus. It's more like a dictatorship. The key takeaways, visionary founders, they can be oppressive. And investors should be prepared for some turbulence in exchange for potential greatness. Not everybody will like this style. There is a line. Even brilliance doesn't excuse toxic behavior that will hinder the company's long-term health. The question is, where is the line and what is a toxic behavior? And what does it mean for the company's long-term health? Musk's leadership with its clear vision, focus on iteration and speed, and structured problem solving is core to Tesla and SpaceX success. It's a trade-off, brilliance for intensity. So therefore, my questions for reflection after these chapters are, do you admire charismatic leaders, or are you drawn to those with quiet competence? How important is a founder's technical expertise as opposed to their ability to inspire a big vision? Would you invest in a Musk personality or a more measured collaborative leader? Can a company built by an aggressive leader achieve long-term stability? That's why in the next chapters, I focused more on Musk's leadership style. And also in part 8, which takes us to chapter 17, Walter Isaacson describes perfectly Musk's leadership style with a lot of lessons and some we also heard in the chapters before. The paradox of Musk, visionary drive versus personal toil. Attitude over skills, question mark. Musk's hiring philosophy is unconventional. He prioritizes relentless drive over degrees, and this is also described on page 350, which means grueling hours and figure it out as you go mentality. It attracts ambitious talent, especially talent who want to achieve something in life and business, but it creates a high pressure environment, not for everybody. He believes work ethic is the key. Skills you can teach, but that unyielding determination is innate. This means finding people as obsessed with solving the problem as he is. The key takeaways, hunger trumps experience. For disruptors, passion and a willingness to learn are just as vital as a resume. Most of the skills can be learned easily on the job. For investors, it means look for founders with drive, not just accolades. founders who are willing to get up early morning, do their exercising, run to the office, go to networking in the evening, and repeat every single day, every single day. But it can become a double-edged sword. A workaholic culture can be a catalyst when you're changing the world, but it can also lead to burnout of talented people. That's why sometimes they need coaching to make them aware that they need a work-life balance, which means people who work usually 100 hours per week need also other parts that they function for decades in the company and not only for a few weeks. Attitude is contagious. The right attitude can energize an entire organization, but when bringing in the wrong attitude into a team, it can also lead to decay. Is ruthlessness the Elon Musk way a feature or a bug? Musk, Bezos, Jobs, many big entrepreneurs of the last two decades are all known for being demanding and even aggressive. Also, Walter Isaacson describes Elon Musk this way on page 354. Their intolerance for mediocrity is how they achieve the impossible, but it comes at a cost. This style can alienate some, but it's seen as essential for results in high-stakes, fast-moving industries. So the key takeaways is the big question, empathy versus results. Is there a balance possible? Some see ruthlessness as necessary for visionary leadership, others as needless cruelty. What's the cost of ambition? Is it crucial to assess a leader's ability to inspire and motivate without destroying morale? For investors, don't ignore a founder's track record of managing people and weathering crisis. The question is then about radical candor. Direct feedback is a powerful tool, but only when delivered skillfully. The importance of self-awareness and growth is another part in these chapters. Musk believes in hardcore feedback, direct and radical, and candor, and delivered in harsh words, as described by Walter Isaacson on page 365. But he insists on criticizing the actions, not the people. This can be a powerful tool, but it backfires when impulse control is lacking. Described at page 371. Even the best ideas fail with poor execution. For Musk, like for other big founders, it's all about hiring A players, people who excel, good skills, good attitude, hardworking people, great work ethic, but also embody their company's values. His leadership style assumes that everyone carries their weight proactively. This creates a high-stakes environment where good people either thrive or break and crumble. The key takeaways from these chapters: critic, don't crush. Honest feedback is vital for the company to move forward, but how you deliver it matters even more. Investors should therefore look for founders who can be direct without being destructive. And leaders grow too. Let them make mistakes. The best founders see their own weaknesses and seek growth for themselves and their teams. And also radical candor delivered in the right way is a skill people learn through practice.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Moving is right up there with death and divorce in the stress Olympics. But fear not. Turn that box of woes into a crate of woes with moving tips in the Life Beyond Boxes podcast with Premium Q Moving. Dive into the world of hassle-free moves, learn tips and tricks to save on cash and your sanity. Say goodbye to those moving meltdowns and hello to the smooth sailings. Or should we say smooth movings? Tune into Life Beyond Boxes with Premium Q Moving on lifebeyondboxes.com or find us on your favorite podcast platform. And with us, unpack the secrets to a stress-free move.
Musk's leadership is all about high expectations, relentless drive, and direct feedback. This works wonders when you're aiming to disrupt entire industries, but it comes with high risk and potential fallout. So the questions for reflection from these chapters are, for me, does extreme ambition necessitate a degree of ruthlessness? How important is a founder's emotional intelligence to you? Would Musk's impulsiveness concern you as an investor, or is it just the price of his transformational vision? Can a leader build a great company culture if they lack traditional people skills like Elon Musk? Musk's leadership on full display with the Twitter takeover, and the question if it's brilliant or a recipe for disaster, are the remaining chapters of the book. And Walter Isaacson spent a lot of time with the Twitter takeover, which basically goes from chapter 70 up to chapter 95 in pages 428 to the end of the book to at page 617. And I have broken it up in two final chapters, so you are almost there. 80% through, we have 20% to go. See you soon. And here we are at part 9, the Twitter takeover transformative disruption or chaotic destruction. It will take us up to chapter 84 in the book. And the Twitter takeover was a clash of cultures. Musk versus Twitter's woke ethos. On one side, self-care and empathy. On the other side, it's all about hard work and ruthlessness. And Musk's disdain for what he perceives as the woke culture at Twitter plays a central role in his decision-making, and Walter Isaacson describes it in great detail in the final chapters. He sees a culture of excessive empathy, focus on employee comfort and aversion to risk as fundamentally at odds with the philosophy of hardcore work and relentless innovation. This clash is vividly illustrated by his reaction to the phrases like psychological safety, his preference for in-person work, and his willingness to disrupt the status quo at great cost. You can read a lot of details from page 508 onwards. For me, the key takeaways and the big questions after reading these chapters were: disruptive leaders will challenge norms. While a caring and inclusive work environment is crucial, Musk illustrates how transformative leaders often clash with established company cultures, especially those they deem inefficient. Comfort versus innovation. Is a balance possible? And if yes, where is the right balance? How much emphasis should leaders place on employee well-being versus achieving breakthrough innovation? Psychological safety. Is it a barrier to progress or essential for an environment where people feel safe to take risks? For the investors, the temperament and interpersonal dynamics of a company's leadership can significantly influence its strategic direction and market perception. The high-stakes gamble, Twitter's finances versus mass layoffs. Initially, Musk announced to fire 75% of Twitter's workforce, but later decided to scale back the cuts. The urgency stems from his belief that the company's expenses far outweigh its revenue. This, coupled with a belief that Twitter is grossly overstaffed, drives him to take the financial risk of violating employee contracts in pursuit of rapid, drastic change. The key takeaways: ruthless efficiency. Musk's focus on cost-cutting, even at the price of potential fines, highlights his tendency towards ruthless efficiency. For investors, it means to assess whether a founder's focus on profits comes at the cost of long-term stability and ethical labor practices. Cutting costs is sometimes important and necessary, but oftentimes, especially when it comes to marketing, and X.com or Twitter is in principle a social media marketing platform, even companies have to scale back. I read a similar story about the Apple shops in Tim Cook's biography, where he decided to hire a leader who was excellent at cutting costs, but this also came at a high price because the service orientation at the point of sales, at the point of contact with the customer, suffered tremendously under this leadership style. Disregard for the rules. Musk's willingness to flout labor laws raises ethical questions. When is rule bending justified and the rule just a recommendation, and when not? How can disruptive leaders find a balance between necessary change and respecting existing systems? Another part in these chapters were content moderation and the free speech paradox. Musk's acquisition of Twitter was driven by his belief in free speech as foundational to democracy. Musk's management of Twitter highlights the evolving role of social media as a global town hall, where the balance between freedom of speech and content moderation becomes a delicate but crucial task. His strategies aim to foster an inclusive platform while managing the spread of harmful content, reflecting the complex challenges faced by social media executives today. His vision for Twitter centers on reducing content moderation while maintaining a positive user experience. He believes giving users control over the content they see, downvoting and charging for verification will create a digital town square open to diverse opinions. However, the tension between absolute free speech and the need to protect users from harm poses a significant challenge. The key takeaways, again, is the question, the fine line, where is it? Where does free speech and harmful content begin? Musk's approach is likely to create new challenges for Twitter in managing online discourse. The cost of unrestricted speech. Can Twitter attract both users and advertisers while also allowing potentially polarizing content? Is verification the solution? Will paid verification and user controls be enough to combat misinformation and abuse? The fourth observation I had in these chapters was redefining leadership style. Musk's interactions and leadership style, characterized by radical candor and a demanding nature, challenge conventional notions of empathy in management. His approach emphasizes meritocracy and results over traditional empathy, pushing his teams to extreme levels of performance, but also risking potential backlash, turnover, and burnout. The key takeaways: leadership and team dynamics. A demanding leadership style can drive innovation, but requires careful management to maintain team morale and cohesion. For entrepreneurs, leaders must find effective ways to communicate and enforce high standards without compromising the team's integrity or motivation. And also the investors should question the leadership style as a crucial factor in evaluating the sustainability of a company's management practices and its long-term success. This part of the exploration into Musk's methods provides a window into the demanding, high-stakes world of leading major innovations and managing large-scale public platforms. These insights are crucial for anyone looking to understand the intricacies of managing or investing in high-impact, high-profile companies in today's rapidly evolving technological and social landscape. The remaining questions for reflection for me after reading these chapters: is Musk's vision for Twitter realistic, or is he setting the stage for chaos and eventual failure? Do you believe Musk's leadership style is necessary for drastic change, or is he needlessly destructive? Can a social media company thrive while prioritizing free speech at the potential cost of user trust and safety? How should companies navigate the inevitable culture clash when a new leader with a radical vision takes over? Next up, we will look in the final chapters at how Musk handles the Twitter crisis. Does he have the focus for this kind of challenge, or will it derail his other ambitious projects? And here we are, the final chapters: the cost of disruption, leadership, values, and the future of Twitter at SpaceX. And still, also here, managing difficult personalities, power versus strategy. The Kissinger quote cited by Walter Isaacson is a powerful reminder that even the most brilliant minds can act irrationally. When leaders lash out, the fallout isn't just emotional, it has strategic consequences. Musk's team, however, learned how to manage his demon mode periods by waiting until he had calmed down before revisiting contagious issues. This level of strategic patience is crucial when dealing with volatile personalities. The key takeaways from this part of the book: toxic leadership's hidden cost. While leaders like Musk get results, the human cost is enormous. Potential loss of talent and demoralizing work environment. Strategic adaptation versus enabling. Is navigating a difficult boss a skill, or does it just normalize the bad behavior? The question for employees always is, walk away or double down? Should employees adapt or leave toxic environments? And strategic patience. Those who stick around, people need also learn to navigate difficult personalities, and strategic patience is essential in dealing with volatile leaders. Waiting out the outbursts often leads to more rational decision-making. The next part is about kindness, manners, and the loss of talent. We are taught to be kind as kids, yet it gets lost when power is involved. Musk's insults and tantrums aren't just a character flaw, it's bad leadership, as described in the book. Sure, some talent will tolerate it for a visionary leader, but even driven people want respect. A toxic environment repels great people, and that kind of attrition undermines long-term innovation. The key takeaway is leadership and the leaders with their style set the tone in the company. Musk's outbursts shape the culture at Twitter, making it less attractive to certain types of talent and, as we see, also advertisers. The cost of attrition. How will losing principled employees impact Twitter's future and also at other companies? And can companies afford kindness? In cutthroat markets, is being nice a weakness or a competitive advantage? Just remember, kindness doesn't mean giving up interests or accepting every position. It just means being hard on the problem, but being kind to the people. So one part in the final chapters was about firing decisions, and firing with dignity is a leader's choice. Musk focuses on excellence, trustworthiness, and drive, and so do other top tech CEOs like Reed Hastings and Jensen Huang. But unlike them, he chooses to blow it up and start over approach. This shakeup lets people self-select by accepting hardcore Twitter or leaving. But remember, leaders set the tone, even when firing people. So also Musk granted generous severance packages, and this shows respect also for people who are leaving, while trying to damage reputations reflects poorly on the person doing it. It's never a good choice when leaders want to fire, when they work hard to eternally damage the leaving employee's reputation in their social circles. It's just bad leadership. The key takeaways: self-selection in teams, letting people choose their level of commitment can build a more dedicated team. The severance strategies, offering generous terms, lets good people leave with dignity, which enhances the company's reputation on the market. And always remember, you need a good reputation to retain also good new employees. Leadership versatility. Different stages of growth require different leadership styles. The best leaders know when to adapt their approach. What's the right personality in building startups? Growing a company means evolving the team's personality along with it. Musk loves small, super efficient teams to tackle big problems fast. This works early in a startup's journey, but it's a different skill set than scaling a company, where you need stability and process as much as you need genius. The key takeaways: dynamic team structuring. As your company grows, the team composition and leadership style have to grow with it. Balancing empathy and drive. Maximize productivity without crushing morale. It's a tough balance, but essential for long-term success. And situational leadership. the one I favor. Effective leaders tailor their style to the company's stage of development and the challenges it faces on the market. What does it mean building a startup with a fail-fast philosophy? Musk's fail-fast and learn mentality is classic for disruptors. It values bold experiments over cautious planning. This high-risk approach can lead to breakthroughs, but it's a recipe for chaos if not managed correctly. So the big questions and takeaways: risk-taking for innovation, failure isn't the goal, but embracing it as a learning tool accelerates discovery. Agile development: be ready to pivot, iterate quickly, and adapt strategies based on what you learn as you go. And the final part, strategic resilience: companies that can bounce back from failures are built to last. This deep dive into Musk's leadership raises important questions. How do you manage strong personalities? What leadership styles work best as a company evolves? How do you balance innovation with stability? These are questions every leader faces, but amplified to extremes in Musk's case. The final questions for reflection for me: how can you use strategic patience to navigate challenges in your own work? It's a little bit of a Buddhist approach, which I like as a member of the Shaolin Temple. What can you do to be consistently respectful and effective in your leadership? How can you implement a fail-fast mindset in your current projects to boost innovation? And in the final sections, I run through the 7 key takeaways, my personal reflection and critique, and the closing remarks for the next episode. Let's get right into it. What are my 7 key takeaways from Elon Musk, Tesla, SpaceX? The first one is embrace complex leadership. The lesson: leadership is multifaceted and can involve both inspirational and controversial tactics. Understand that effective leadership may require balancing hardcore decision-making with sensitivity to human factors. Leaders should aim to inspire through vision while managing the impact of their actions on team morale and company culture. The second takeaway: set audacious goals publicly. It's also good for the personal life and also good for the corporate life. Publicly setting bold targets can create accountability and drive teams to achieve more than they thought possible. Leaders can adopt this approach to push boundaries within their organizations. However, it's crucial to maintain realistic expectations and provide support to ensure goals are motivating rather than overwhelming. The third one is the first principle thinking. Breaking down problems to their fundamental truths can lead to innovative solutions. Encourage teams to approach problem solving by questioning conventional assumptions and rebuilding solutions from the ground up. This can foster a culture of innovation and continuous improvement. The fourth important learning in this book is risk-taking and resilience. The big lesson here: taking calculated risks is essential for breakthrough innovation. Therefore, cultivate a risk-tolerant environment where failures are seen as learning opportunities. Ensure that your team understands the importance of resilience and learning from mistakes to drive progress. The fifth one, the importance of accountability. The lesson here: clear responsibility leads to efficiency and accountability in operations. Therefore, implement systems where responsibilities are explicitly attached to individuals. This clarity helps in ensuring that everyone knows their roles and the expectations tied to them, enhancing focus and efficiency. The sixth one is simplify and optimize from the Musk algorithm. The lesson here: complexity should be reduced wherever possible to enhance focus and output. Regularly review processes and systems to eliminate unnecessary complexities and streamline operations. This not only improves productivity, but also reduces the likelihood of errors. And the final key lesson here: adapt leadership to context. Different stages of a company's growth require different leadership styles and personnel. Be flexible in your leadership style and the personnel you engage with. in the early stages of a company, a more hands-on risk-taking leadership might be necessary. But as the company matures, a more stable and process-oriented approach might be needed. These takeaways distill the essence of Elon Musk's approach to leadership and innovation, as detailed in Walter Isaacson's biography and viewed through my personal lens. It provides actionable insights for entrepreneurs and leaders in any field. My personal reflection and critique to the book: Elon Musk, with his blend of brilliance and controversy, is as much a master of innovation as he is of public perception. His approach to marketing through media manipulation, whether intentional or a byproduct of his personality, has certainly played a pivotal role in the success of his ventures. Musk's ability to captivate public interest, regardless of the nature of the attention, undoubtedly amplifies brand visibility across Tesla, SpaceX, and also potentially X.com. Controversy is his fuel. Elon Musk is a master of generating attention. His polarizing behavior keeps him in the headlines. Whether it's calculated or innate, the audacity helps his brands stand out in a crowded market. The genius flaw paradox. Musk's ambition has driven incredible advancements from electric vehicles to space travel, reigniting dreams of exploration. However, as the book illustrates, there is a fine line between relentless drive and disregard for those around him. I definitely recommend this biography. It's a fascinating, complex portrayal of a driven, flawed innovator, a reminder that genius and ethical leadership don't always go hand in hand. Learn from Musk's triumphs and mistakes to shape your own path. And I will end this podcast with a quote from Bruce Lee. Absorb what is useful, reject what is useless, and add what is essentially your own. Are you interested in learning more about this extraordinary and controversial figure? Then get your copy of Elon Musk, Tesla, SpaceX, and the Quest for a Fantastic Future right now. The Amazon link is in the description. In today's podcast episode, we delved into the complex world of Elon Musk as depicted in Walter Isaacson's latest biography. From his early days to his current ventures in SpaceX and beyond, Musk's life is a testament to the power of relentless ambition and visionary foresight. The book provides not only a detailed account of his professional maneuvers, but also an intimate look at the personal trials he faces. So stay tuned for the next episode, my live streams on LinkedIn, and in the next book review, I will explore another titan of industry and innovation. I will unpack a short biography of Jeff Bezos, tracing his ascent from a garage startup to creating Amazon, a global powerhouse that has redefined commerce. And I will look into the leadership lessons described in this very brief and crisp biography. See you next time.